Hello, America. I want to talk to you about a friend of mine named Rod Eccles. You see, Rod's made a career out of kicking ass, and do you want to know why? Because that's what Americans do. We don't talk pretty, and every now and then we step on a few toes. I'm okay with it, and I'm willing to bet you are too. I think we're ready for a healthy dose of truth, justice, and the American way. That's why I tune into Rod weekdays 9 to noon, and I pray to God you'll join me. So together, we can get back to making America great.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Fastest 3 hours in internet talk radio is right here on the Rod Eccles program. I am your lovable host, Elrod, powered by Zinc Media Art. Here it is on a Friday morning.
Welcome to Freedom Friday.
Yes, Friday, September number 28 in year of our Lord 2018. By the way, by the time that you come back from your weekend celebrations, it will no longer be September. It's going to be October. The first Monday in October, will we be down a justice or not? Yeah, it looks like that we probably will be. But hopefully that won't be the case for very long. But we're going to try to get into some lighter fare this hour. Yes, the hot rod line that you can call in is still 603-499-7325. Been hammering quite heavily on the Kavanaugh nomination debacle the Republicans, they botched this whole thing in their handling of this, because there ain't no way in hell, they've already should have voted on this guy. Ain't no way in hell they should have bent over backwards the way they bent over backwards for this woman out from California. This liberal, never Trumper, pink pussy hat wearing professor who has a low score from her own students. In other words, her own liberal students didn't even really like her very much. She's probably because she's a professor, I guess. You know, she's got a PhD. Nobody's fully checked her PhD. I don't know if that's real. But in any case, she's got this PhD. She's a professor out there. And she sounds like she's 15. Now I am sure there are probably a lot of college students who sound just like her are probably thinking, wait, isn't she 53? Well, why does she sound like me? Everybody knows what I'm talking about when I call it millennial speak. And I call it millennial speak because, you know, there is a way that teenagers speak. Now, teenagers from my day and your day probably didn't sound the same. I know we didn't sound the same as teenagers today. Don't sound, you know, we use different vernacular and things. And inflections are different. But when we grow up, we graduate from high school, we get into our 20s. We all start to sound the same. You know, we leave that sort of childish form of speaking behind. We grow up. The millennial generation is the first generation that didn't. And I remember going back in. I can go back in time. You know, I should have one of these people. One of these days, I'm going to have a full-blown staff here that can go and pick all this stuff out and research it. Because I don't have time to do that. But I remember going, at least 2 years ago now, going back, talking about Mark Zuckerberg. Now, Mark Zuckerberg is a millennial. And I talked about how I couldn't stand listening to him talk. Here's a man who was almost 30, you know, so it's more than 2 years ago now. He was almost 30 years old, and he sounded like he was in high school. I couldn't stand listening to him talk for very long. Because I'm an adult. I'm looking at another adult, not a teenager in high school. I'm expecting him to sound and act like an adult. And he's acting like and sounding like a teenager. And my mind can't wrap around what my eyes are seeing. And it's driving me insane. This woman is 50-something years old, and she sounds exactly like a Gen Zer or a millennial at the age of 15. I'm looking at her, I'm seeing a middle-aged woman, and I'm hearing a 15-year-old. My brain is saying, your eyes are playing tricks on you, and it was driving me batty. Now, I don't know how many, I could not have been sitting in that committee in that room for very long with her. I'm serious. I could not. I could not have allowed my questions to be asked through a female mouthpiece. Now, I'm not denigrating that female prosecutor at all. She didn't have enough time, but she did a good job with the time that she had. By the way, of course, you're not hearing this reported. Now, you hear all of these. I see this all over the place on social media. You know, we need to have sex crime experts investigate this. Well, hello, you had an expert sex crime prosecutor talk to this woman. And after all was said and done, what you're not hearing is that that prosecutor said, I don't believe her. That's exactly what she said. She said, there's no evidence. There's no way I would prosecute it. There's no way it could even get to that level. It wouldn't even be investigated further. Now, this is a person who prosecutes sex criminals for a living and has done so for over a decade. And she's a woman. And she came out and said, I don't believe her. Now, if all of you people on the left say you want an expert to look at this and investigate, you had one right there who just said, nope. So if you're asking the FBI to investigate, here's a prosecutor telling you that they wouldn't investigate because there's nothing to investigate. I mean, let's put that out there now. You've got a sex crime prosecutor who's been doing this job for over a decade, who says to you, who the lamestream media, not even Fox, wants to report on, who says, I don't believe her, there is no evidence, there could not possibly be an investigation because there's nothing to investigate. And even if they did do an investigation, there is no evidence that could come forward that could be prosecutable. We wouldn't take the case. In other words, they wouldn't even bother to even try to indict Kavanaugh on any type of crime that happened 36 years ago. Because there's nothing there. And when you have the prosecution, who's a woman who doesn't believe you, I think you got a major problem. So with that, and so there goes that argument. Well, let's make sure the FBI couldn't investigate, for one. It's not in their jurisdiction. Two, you have a woman who does this for a living who says there's nothing there to investigate. We don't believe her to begin with. And there is no evidence. What are we going to go? We don't even have the blue dress. Meanwhile, might I bring your attention back to Keith Ellison? We have an ex-wife. We have a girlfriend. We have a 911 call. We have a medical report. And what do we get? Oh, nothing to see here. They made all that up. Well, this was just within a few years. We're not talking 30 years ago. We're not even talking 20 years ago. We're not even talking 10 years ago. We're talking less than 5 years ago. And, oh, nope, they made it up. Nothing to see here. No need to investigate. Nothing there. Really? So maybe in order to get a Democrat to believe you, you have to have a fanciful story that took place decades ago with very little, if any, evidence to back up your story. Then they'll believe you, evidently. Because if you have a solid memory, if you have some evidence at least, nothing to see here. If you have multiple credible women coming forward, you know, I know that the face of the whole Bill Clinton thing is Juanita Broderick, but can I bring up another name from Bill Clinton's past that shows how hypocritical Democrats are? Tawana Brawley. If she doesn't back up Juanita Broderick, I don't know what would. But there were multiple women that say, yeah, Bill did almost exactly the same thing to me as he did to Juanita. They claim that this guy was a serial rapist from the day he was Attorney General of the state of Arkansas. You have some state troopers who did protection duty, who came forth. Yeah, you know, I used to go out and get women for Bill. Used to pick him up. Bring him back to the governor's mansion. Now, these are law enforcement officers. They're not making any money off of this. They have no political ambitions, and yet they're telling their stories. And none of that is enough to investigate Bill Clinton. You have an ex-wife and an ex-girlfriend, both of whom supposedly have medical documentation, and one of them has at least one of them has a 911 call. And that's not enough to investigate or condemn Keith Ellison. But you get a woman who's got a partial memory of an event that may have happened over 35 years ago, and this guy should have his entire life destroyed. And you got a bunch of people running around on the left saying that she must be believed. Because women don't make this up. Even after we already experienced the full destruction of a handful of young men's lives over a lie when they were in college. A complete lie. So much a lie that two of the main perpetrators involved went to jail. But people don't make up that kind of stuff. Just reminding people of the Duke University lacrosse case. But four or five of them, right? Their lives were destroyed. Their college careers were destroyed. Any chance they had at using their college sport of lacrosse as a leap into professional life was destroyed by a lie. And that barely gets covered. Oh, it was walled. Everybody remembers the Duke lacrosse case. It was wall-to-wall coverage about how bad these people were and these boys were. And this was the culture of college and frats. In fact, there was calls for frats being to be disbanded or be heavily regulated and you know, and patrolled and all this kind of stuff, and no more parties and in how these college sports teams on the male side, they were nothing more than professional institutions, and they should be disbanded or they should be regulated. It was all kinds of things talking about how the male psyche must be destroyed because of this. Because why? Because she must be believed. They said it then. Oh, yeah, she wouldn't make this up. She must be believed. And then after all the dust settles and after trials of some of these guys, their lives are completely destroyed. We find out she made the whole thing up. And the chief prosecutor ahead of that was heading the case, in charge of the case, knew it. And they kept evidence away from the defense, which is highly illegal and unconstitutional, by the way. So don't tell me this stuff cannot be made up. There's a woman in Maine. This doesn't happen against men. There's a woman in the state of Maine. She was a teacher. A male student of hers accused her of having a sexual relation with her. Her school district forced her to resign. She was investigated, charged, put on trial. It took the jury less than 2 hours to acquit her of 14 charges. And not only did the prosecution not find the evidence or prove the evidence, but it came out that the boy made it all up, lied, even took things that she actually did do, like texting him, because somehow he got her phone number, cell phone number, and texted her, and she thought he was having a mental, and she even reported the incident, but that was somehow used against her, and is still being used against her. Well, it was beyond, her school won't hire her back, because she was beyond protocol in answering his text message with a text. That's their excuse. In her early 30s, with a family, husband, two kids of her own, her life was destroyed by a lie. Don't tell me they can't. There are stories like this all over this country. Don't tell me she must be believed. No, she mustn't. What is the evidence? There is none. In fact, he's produced more evidence. Kavanaugh has produced more evidence that could prove he couldn't have been the perpetrator than she has produced to prove that he is. And here's a guy that doesn't have to prove he's innocent, but he did a damn good job of doing that. And she didn't do any job other than verbal accusation in her accusal of him. And we got a bunch of Democrats who are hanging on this like it's their life, like it's a lifeline in order to stop his nomination. And as I have said before, do not doubt me. This is all because of two things. One, he believes in logical legal restriction on abortion because he believes in right to life. And he was nominated by Donald Trump, the most hated president the left has ever seen or come across. You know, some people think that the left hated Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan's experience with the Democrat Party would be construed as a love affair compared what Donald Trump is going through. This is absolutely unprecedented. By the way, if we didn't have the entire Democrat Party and a bunch of Republican swamp monsters, also known as rhinos, if we didn't have them so adamantly opposed to Trump, and Trump is still able to do what he's been able to do in less than 2 years, can you imagine if he at least had all Republicans on his side wholeheartedly, what he could have accomplished? Folks, this is how important the midterm is. You can ask any of them, why do you hate Donald Trump? Well, he's unpresidential. Why? They cannot give you an answer. Because there isn't one. This is all based on a feeling that Donald Trump did something that you're not supposed to do in politics. Defeat the anointed one. Which was Hillary Clinton. They can't forgive him for that. He will ever, forever go down in the annals of liberal history, leftist history, as the evil one, because he defeated the rightful heir to the throne of the presidency. We don't have that. This is the problem when we get into these sort of political dynasties. And it's, we're not supposed to have that kind of thing. Our founding fathers warned us against just such a thing in their letters, in their speeches, in their deeds, in the Constitution itself. They tried to protect us against such a thing, and they warned us time and time again about such a thing. They warned us, most of them warned us against political parties. They all warned us against political dynasties. There cannot be. George Washington was the most brilliant man the country has ever seen when he turned down a monarchy. As the chief executive, he said, we just got rid of one. Why the hell would we want to go back there? Absolutely not. And yet all of this stuff started. You want to know when it started in the modern sense that we started going down this road of political dynasty? I hate to say it, people, but the truth is the truth. Kennedy. Oh, look at Camelot, American royalty. It's what the media said of John F. and Jacqueline beside Kennedy. There is no such thing. But people bought the media bias that we now have royalty in this country. We have political elite. So we saw the rise of the Kinnesty political dynasty. We're still feeling its effects today. Then we saw the Bush political dynasty. You know, George H.W. Bush rising through the ranks of the Republican Party. And then we get what? We get his son. And then what? We almost got his other son. And then we got the Clintons. We can't get rid of them. And now, you know, we almost had her as president. And we're being threatened by their child, Chelsea. She's threatening to run. We're not supposed to have political dynasties in this country. But they're propped up by the media, and they're believed by the swamp. And then that muck spreads all over the country by saying, okay, this is the next president. We picked them for you. This is the person you should vote for. And when the people reject that, oh, it's almost as bad as trying to reject a king or a queen. The difference here is that instead of sending out your armies out into the public and making sure everybody falls in line, you just destroy those people who they chose over you. So the only people left standing are the ones that they decide. Doesn't matter who you are. And this is a prime example with Kavanaugh. Does not matter who you are. Does not matter the life you've led. Doesn't matter what you've accomplished. It doesn't matter how accomplished or educated you are. If they decide that you're not one of the chosen ones, they will do everything that they possibly can, using with the grace and help and assistance of the lamestream media, to destroy you. And I'm not just talking about just destroy your political ambitions. I'm talking about completely and utterly destroying your life and the life of your family. Look what they've done to Kavanaugh. Look what they've been trying to do to Trump. They're trying to completely and utterly destroy them. Obliterate. Leave nothing left but ashes. And that, my friends, is not what American politics was intended to be. They made it this way. Even whenever we tried to fight against it, they fight even harder against us, the people. Make no mistake about it, this is not a fight against Donald J. Trump. This is a fight of the swamp, mostly leftist Democrats, versus the American people at all. How dare you? How dare you go against their will and their wishes? How dare you vote for somebody who's going to do your bidding? How dare you vote for somebody who promises to do stuff that you want them to do, and then he starts to try to make those promises fulfilled? They're supposed to make all kinds of promises to you and then forget all about you until another 2 or 4 or 6 years when they come up for re-election. Oh, yeah, we still have work to do. We still need to do this. We still need to do that. Well, you had 4 or 6 years to do that. You didn't even touch it back then. And you promised us 4 or 6 years ago that you were going to do it, and you didn't do it. And now we voted for somebody who promised this stuff that we want him to do, and he's trying to do it, and you're telling us that you don't want him to do that. So what you're telling us is you don't like us. They're telling you they do not like you. And they will attempt to destroy anyone whom you prefer over them. And they are not, it is not beneath them to destroy anyone who comes in contact and supports the person that they loathe. Oh, you're nominated by Donald Trump? Like a robot. Must destroy, must obliterate, turn to ashes. Period. No matter what your record is, they will make something up. That you can believe.
Warning. Listening to the Rod Eccles Show by the idiot left may cause outrage, fear, a need for safety pins and or spaces. If you experience any of these symptoms or are allergic to truth, tune in and learn something, Snowflake.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide. Plus, what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock. but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate, to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
We've come to that portion of the program where I bring to you today's holidays. Yes, the holidays for today, September number 28, are thus. There's a few of them, and frankly, some of them are kind of ironic for today, of all things. Today is Ask a Stupid Question Day. It's observed the last weekday of September, also known as Ask a Stupid National Ask a Stupid Question Day. You've probably heard the acronym or the phrase, there's no such thing as a stupid question. Or, ask a stupid question, get a stupid answer. Well, today is Ask a Stupid Question Day. It's also Fish Tank Floor Show Night. Not day, night. Now, if you have a fish tank, I guess you're supposed to show it off today. That's how you celebrate. It's also Hug a Vegetarian Day, also known as Hug a Vegan Day. And this is held, observed the last Friday in September. Yeah, you can go ahead and do that if you want. I'm not going in that direction. I like meat. Sorry. I was meant to eat meat. My teeth and digestive system is made for meat, so I'm going to eat meat. I'm an apex predator like every other human being. We're at the top of the food chain. Not the only one at the top, but we're at the top of the food chain. So we get to eat whatever the hell, you know, damn well please. It isn't going to make us sick or kill us. So you vegans and vegetarians, great that you choose to do that. Don't put it off on me. It is also, ironically, Right to Know Day. Yes, International Right to Know Day was created on September 28th back in 2002 on the last day of the three-day Freedom of Information Conference that was held in Sofia, Bulgaria. Freedom of Information representatives from 15 nations on that day took part in the conference and also established the International Freedom of Information Advocates Network. Members of the new group agreed to work together to promote the right of access to information as well as to open and transparent government. There are now over 200 organizations and civil groups around the world that make up the FOIA-net. In 2015, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, otherwise known as UNESCO, passed a resolution proclaiming September 28th as International Day for the Universal Access of Information. How ironic we now have a day on social media where people are being censored. Just saying. You know what I'm saying is true. It's also National Good Neighbor Day. So if you're a terrible neighbor, today is a day that you're supposed to be a good neighbor. Just one day a year, I guess. National Good Neighbor Day is today. Also observed on the fourth Friday of September is Love Note Day. Send just a quick, cute little love note to the person that you love. Even if you hate the person, send them a love note. It's Love Note Day. It's also National Drink Beer Day. I don't know how many days we have dedicated to beer throughout the year, but here's another one. National Drink Beer Day. Today is for drinking beer. And of course, we know that beer can be traced going back at least 6,000 years. Now, beer brewing, forms of beer. Every time they seem to find a city that's older, it seems like, oh, there was a brewery here. Beer fermenting and making alcoholic beverages. I would, if there was such a thing as cavemen, I wouldn't be surprised if we go into one of these caves where they have, all the art. If they go back further into the cave and deeper into the cave, if they don't find a still, an ancient still. I wouldn't be surprised, really. Because, the beer can be made out of quite a few. There's plenty of grains out there that just, even wine. I mean, we make all kinds of wines today. I mean, there are some times when berries ferment on the vine and you see bears or birds drunk. Well, because they ate the fermented berries. So it goes back at least that far. It is also National Strawberry Cream Pie Day. I didn't even know there was strawberry cream pie. I'm not sure if I'd like it. I mean, I like strawberries. I don't necessarily like strawberry and pie, though. I like blueberry pie. Is there a blueberry cream pie? Well, evidently, if there's strawberry cream pie. You could try it today if you've never had it, so maybe I should try it today, because today is the day for National Strawberry Cream Pie. It is also National Brave Day. I don't know what that means. Not much information on it. It's observed on the fourth Friday in September. I mean, there's all kinds of bravery out there. We're told how brave, Ford is for coming forward. I don't know if you'd say that's brave. I think you're going to have to wait and see how brave she is by how much money she makes off of this. That's how, if she doesn't make a dime, yeah, then you could say, you could possibly say and plausibly be correct in saying that she was brave. I'm thinking she's got a payday coming. Anyway, it's also Read a Child a Book You Like Day. And this is one of many days throughout the year where it's dedicated to reading children books or having children read a book. It's also Save the Koala Day, the koala bear. Yes, that cute little thing. Is it really? It's a marsupial, right? It's not really a bear. But it's called the koala bear because I guess it looks like a bear. They're cute, but they're wild animals, and they don't want to be pet by humans, so don't even try that because they can also be nasty. But it is Save the Koala Day. I guess they are endangered, and it's observed the last Friday in September. Today is Silver Lining Day as well. You know, everything has a silver lining. There's a new program, new TV show. I just watched the first episode last night, and it got my interest enough where I'll watch the second episode, and that's Manifest, where this plane, you know, they take off in the spring of 2013, and they land in the fall of 2018, and everybody's wondering, where the hell have you been for 5.5 years? I mean, where have we been? We took off and we landed. They went through some sort of time. All I can say is that the presumption is they went through some sort of time warp that was instigated by some sort of superior being. That's the gist of it from the first episode. And I'm like, okay, I can follow this for an episode or two more and see where it goes. But they also talked about all things happen for good. There's a silver lining in everything. So there's a silver lining in all those 160-some people on the plane. Jump, you know, missing five and a half years of their life in an instant. And it's something supernatural that's happening to all of them too at the same time. But anyway, it's Silver Lining Day, so find the good in anything. And finally, today it is World Rabies Day. Now, if I'm like, I saw a news story here around New Hampshire where somebody in New England, I think it was a new. Maybe it was on the news. When I was looking for another program that was, the news came on late because of the hearings yesterday, the testimony yesterday. So I think the news, Channel 5 was mentioning that somebody's cat tested positive for rabies. Now, I thought they had to kill the animal. Because the only way you could see if an animal had rabies was in their brain, and you had the, you know, basically an autopsy. But somebody's cat tested positive for rabies, and if maybe I'm dreaming that, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure I heard the news story yesterday. But it's kind of ironic that today is World Rabies Day. If you let your pet outside, or your pet comes into contact with animals that go outside, you may have one cat who's a house cat and one cat who's an outdoor cat. If they come into contact with each other, you got to make sure that both of them are vaccinated against rabies. So I know people say, well, I don't want to put my dog or cat through. Well, you gotta, because the alternative is there is no cure once they get it, except euthanasia, you know, bullet in the head type of thing. That's it. That's the cure. Anybody remember Old Yeller, the movie Old Yeller? Now, most of us probably didn't read the book, but it was a book. It was a novel first, and they made it into a movie. Yeah, I remember watching the movie. We actually watched it. Did we? Yeah, we had to read. We tried to read the book. I think it was a freshman in high school. And just like Romeo and Juliet, the entire freshman class saw the movie at one time in the auditorium. And boys and girls, mostly girls, but boys too, at the end of the, they were crying. Right, so just because the dog got rabies, Yeller got rabies because he was defending, you know, his boy from a wild animal attack. And he ended up getting rabies and had to be put down. It was sad. So if that's what you want to go through, then by all means, don't get your pet vaccinated. Just saying. You want to talk about a movie that is has a surreal ending? I mean, I know it's old and everybody's probably seen it already, but for those of you who haven't read the book or seen the movie, I don't want to ruin the ending for you. But let me just say, some people think it was a happy ending, but it really wasn't. If you are a sensitive person, male or female, all you pajama boys, you better get your box of tissues because you're going to cry. Any case, those are your holidays for today, September number 28. I got this story here, moving away from the Kavanaugh Ford stuff from yesterday. Evan, how many, I don't care how big of a star you once were, once you're past your prime and in quote-unquote retirement, how many assistants do you need? I'm still trying to figure that out. You know, you have these stars. They haven't been in the limelight, haven't done a movie, made a record in a decade or more, and yet they still have an assistant. For what? Anyway, here is this, and your assistants live with you. Well, not only do they live with you, but your assistant's adult child lives with you. And I bring this up because, yes, the venerable, ageless, who's now looking very old, Cher. I guess, you know, she keeps getting any more facelifts, she's going to end up looking like Joan Rivers, but she's not a comedian, so she won't be able to make fun of herself like Joan Rivers did. But evidently, Cher's mansion out in California, in Malibu. Her mansion was swarmed by police. There was a massive response from cops and firefighters and paramedics, but not for a life or death situation. TMZ is reporting that according to law enforcement sources, the Ventura County Sheriff's Department executed a search warrant on Wednesday at Cher's Malibu home and arrested someone for a drug-related offense. We're told the suspect is the son of one of Cher's assistants. This person, Donovan Ruiz, R-U-I-Z, is 23 years old, and he lives in the house. I'm just curious. You're 23 years old. Not only are you still living with your mother, but you're living with your mother's employer. Now, I don't know if the mom lives there. The story just says that 23-year-old Donovan Ruiz, the son of one of Cher's assistants, lives in Cher's home in Malibu, presumably with Cher. I don't know how many homes Cher has. Didn't say that Cher was home at the time, but this guy is wanted due to the fact that he's wanted for a felony charge of basically providing drugs, illegal, illicit drugs, to a person who overdoses and dies. Cher was not at home, evidently, if you go down and read the bottom of this. You got to get to the bottom of the story before you find this out. Cher was not at home. She's on tour and has a show scheduled in Australia. Cher is on tour? Isn't she like 80? I'm sorry, but, you know, she did. Back in the day, Cher had a voice. She had some pipes. But I'm not going to go see a Cher concert. Well, I wouldn't go see a Cher concert anyway, but I'm not definitely not going to go see her now. I don't want to see a geriatric on stage. As much as we like to complain about all the youth today that have no talent, this type of industry is for the for the young. I you had Tony Bennett who was singing, and you know he's still alive and he's still singing. I get it. You know, Frank Sinatra was singing until almost the day he died in the Rat Pack. And I understand that there are some people that have such talent. Now, I don't think Frank Sinatra had all that kind of talent, but a lot of people do. That there are some people that have such talent that they're able to transcend time. And that's usually the case, especially now, because so much of the younger stuff, so-called stars, have very little, if any, talent whatsoever. I mean, I put out a tweet the other day about Justin Bieber. I got some flack for it, but I stand by it. I mean, let's face it. Now, let's be real. If Justin Bieber came about in the 1980s, Justin Bieber would be a one-hit wonder. Why? Because we had so much real talent coming out of the 80s. The 80s was just flooded with people who really could sing and entertain. It just wasn't Michael Jackson. You could say that all of that happened because of Michael. Yeah, and we had some people that we wonder, why did we actually listen to them? Or they didn't even have the greatest of voices, but they were entertainers, you know, bar none. And let's face it, Madonna never had a great voice, but she was an entertainer. Justin Bieber would have been a one-hit wonder. He would have had that one hit, and everybody would have wondered, well, where did he go, and why did he have, we'd be wondering why he had that one hit. Because there were a handful of them back then. Bunch of people with one-hit wonders. Or they were one-album wonders. You know, maybe they had most of them only had one hit, and that was it, and the second song totally sucked, and everybody forgot about them. But some of them had more than one. They had, you know, they had a couple or three hits off of a single album, and that was it. Either we never heard from them again, or their second album did so badly that they slunk away in shame and disappeared into the void, never to be heard from again until you see some of these programs on MTV. You know, whatever happened to these people type of shows. So I get the longevity of Cher because she did have a good voice. Now, whether or not you liked her music, I wasn't a huge fan of Sonny and Cher. I wasn't a huge fan of Cher. I did like some of her songs. Yeah, some of her hits were good. Some of her B-sides were also good. And she had a good voice, very unique voice. And she had a strong voice. But I think she's past her prime now, folks. I mean, honestly. Who's going to go to see her? And I can't. Well, part of her shtick was her skimpy costumes. Do you really want to see an 80-year-old Cher in a skimpy costume? There's only so much plastic surgery you can do. Sorry to say. Oh my goodness. It is. There's also somebody out there who is claiming that, well, he claims that he's a hacker. And he's claiming that he has hacked Mark Zuckerberg's Facebook page, and he will delete it on Sunday. The event is scheduled to be streamed on Facebook Live. I don't know how you're going to stream it Facebook Live, deleting the CEO of Facebook, the founders of Facebook. You're going to delete his page. Well, I mean, I understand why they might want to do it because of all the people that Facebook and Twitter have been deleting over their pages that they have been locking down or just deleting over there. A Taiwanese white hat hacker claims that he'll broadcast himself hacking Mark Zuckerberg's Facebook page on Sunday. Writing in a Facebook post to his 26,000 followers, Cheng Chiwan, Cheng Chiwan, Chiyuan, promised to delete the Facebook founder's account and broadcast himself doing it on Facebook Live. Cheng is a well-known hacker in Taiwan, according to Bloomberg, and Cheng and his Facebook page are listed as a special contributor in Line Corp's Bug Bounty Hall of Fame for 2016 and was reportedly sued by a local bus operator for hacking into its system and buying a ticket for a single Taiwanese dollar, equivalent to 3 cents U.S. The hacker has also posted screenshots of Facebook's responses to his bug report. Can you imagine being so good at hacking that you're actually able to hack into an American bus company and buy a ticket for 3 cents? I'm sorry. Look, I know there are people that with computers that are really beyond the pale brilliant. I don't understand any of that garbage. It's all gobbledygook. It's all, you know, Greek to me when it comes in that respect, in that area. And that's true for many people. But there are some who, you know, like the movie The Matrix, and you look at they see an entire picture when they're looking at that crap that's going up and down the screen there on their screen. They see everything. All I see is a bunch of numbers and letters that are falling in like rain. And most of us, that's what we see. But there are some people who look at that and actually see in their mind's eye an entire real picture. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how their brain works for them to be able to do that. But I do know that there are people out there like that. I've worked with a couple of people like that. They were code writers. They knew exactly what they wanted it to look like. And in the code that they're writing, they see exactly what it's going to be. And they were like, well, how do you know what that is? And they would tell me, oh, right now I'm writing the frame. The frame is going to look exactly like this. So they'd write it, finish it, and then they'd show me what it looks like. I'm like, how the hell do you do that? I don't know. I'm fascinated by those kind of people. But evidently, this is one of them. Chang Chi-Wan is one of these people who can do that. And he is so good at it that he's actually been able to purchase bus tickets for 3 cents. Anybody need a discount? Can he do that for airline tickets too? Just wondering. It'd be kind of cool if he could for airlines. You know, it's illegal, by the way, so don't do it. Just tell him, don't go hacking into somebody else's network and then buying stuff for undervalue, because that's probably a bad idea in any case. It really is. Any case, we're going to keep our eye on this whole Kavanaugh thing as more stuff develops later today, this afternoon. You're probably going to hear all the big talking heads talk about this as well. Of course they are. But I bet you none of them are going to be as in-depth as I was today. But with that said, we have come to the end of our time together for not only today, but for the week. But we do plan to be back here on the first Monday of October, which is this Monday. So have yourselves a wonderful weekend. And after all this stuff goes by today, enjoy yourself for the rest of the weekend. And we'll see you right back here on Monday morning. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Rod Eccles. This has been The Rod Eccles Show. I'm out.